Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Come from Woolwich Evangelical Church down at Wood Hill. Like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of invitation, words of warning, and words of life. Here are the words of the Apostle Paul, spoken to the church at Ephesus. He said this, speaking of those who loved and worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Now, friends, this poses some very interesting questions to us. Paul says the Christians at Ephesus were darkness. Now, friends, where are you this morning? Are you walking in darkness? Walking in willful ignorance of the truth? Unaware of where you're going after death? Unaware of the purpose of your life? Unaware of the God who watches and weighs your thoughts and your motives? Walking in darkness? Oh, friends, shouldn't be so. Here is what Paul says. You were sometimes darkness. You don't need to be in darkness. You were in darkness, and now, he says, you've become children of light. Lovers of the truth. Lovers of the conscience. Lovers of principle. Lovers, friends, of the things that enlighten, that bless, that help us to see who we are in the sight of the living God. What a grave mistake, friends, it is to willfully love darkness, to willfully love ignorance, to willfully love the things that blind us, that leave us without understanding of who we are and how we stand in the sight of the living God. You were sometimes darkness, but now you are children of light. Oh, friends, let me ask you solemnly this morning, where do you stand with the living God? Do you know his ways? Do you know his truth? Do you know his warnings? Do you know his heart? Do you know his mind? Or, friends, you a stranger, ignorant, mindless of these great realities? What a grave mistake to neglect your own soul's good. What a grave mistake not to know that which is your highest blessing, the highest joy, to know Christ, to know the light of this dark and foul world. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the payment paid for sin. There is the liberator from sin. Why then do you love sin? Why then, Prince, do you chase after things that hurt and ruin your family, wreck your future life, spoil your relationship with the living God, lower you and debase you? What is the benefit in those things? Here Paul says to the church at Ephesus, you were sometimes children of darkness. You were sometimes, he says, darkness itself. Lovers of darkness, lovers of willful excuse making, willful ignorance. What a mistake. What a tragic mistake not to know the truth that leads us to repentance, leads us to light, leads us to happiness, leads us to a solid prayer life, leads us to a real knowledge of God and of his ways. What a grave mistake, friends, to neglect that which is for your highest good. Why did Christ come? Did he come just to show us up? Just to teach us? Just to instruct us? No, friends, he came to save, to bless, to transform the wicked and the corrupt, and make them pure. What is the benefit, friends, of loving wickedness? Of loving things that you know will harm you, know will wreck and ruin you, know that will pierce your soul through with many sorrows? What is the benefit, friends, of living just like a higher animal, with no thought of eternity, no thought of death or what lies beyond it, no thought of God or his purpose or his mind? You willfully make believe that there is no God. But our friends, you'll have a solemn reawakening before long. There is one who watches, one who knows, one who weighs, one who searches the heart. And oh, friends, run as you may, you won't escape his attention. You won't escape his call. You won't escape his warning and his invitation. In Christ, there is a call home to righteousness, to purity, to solid peace, to happiness, to a solid prayer life. What are you doing with your life if you don't know that secret of peace? If you don't know that great price of peace paid in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You scoff at the cross, you scoff at the scriptures, you scoff at the messengers of the cross. Oh, friends, what a grave mistake not to know the one who brings to us eternal life, the one in whose life is the gift of eternal life. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here is what Paul says. You were, he says to a group of Christians, you were sometimes darkness. Is that how you are this morning, friends? You don't know what life is for. You don't know where you're going after death. You don't know if there's a God or not. You don't understand the purposes of his mind. You certainly don't understand his warnings or his call or his commands. For you, friends, God is a matter of a kind of allergic reaction. The least consideration, the least warning, the least amount of his teaching, and you scuttle away into the undergrowth of excuses. What a mistake. To neglect your highest good, to neglect your highest happiness, to neglect the source of solid peace. In Christ, there is the path home. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, this is Paul, what Paul says to the Ephesians. He says this: you were sometimes darkness. Oh, friends, many of us can say this. Sometimes there was a time in our lives when we didn't know what life was for. We didn't know if there was a God or not. We didn't know if prayers were answered. We didn't know if there was any current or purpose to life at all. Here we are, surrounded by the most extraordinary nanotechnology, photosynthesis and all the other glories of God's creation, and yet we say, is there a mind? Is there a creator? Is there a designer? How can there be purpose and order in such a fractured creation around us? Oh, friends, that's what it's like living in darkness. But in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the light of the world. In him, friends, is God's own word to us. God's wooing and calling to us. God's invitation to us. And God's warning to us. Oh, friends, what have you done with that light? What have you done, friends, with that glorious invitation of grace and light and forgiveness? What have you done with his warnings and his call? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't neglect his kindness. Don't neglect his patience. Oh, friends, God is so kind, so patient toward us. He stretches out his hand in warning and in kindness. And where are you? Where are you, friends? Where are you going to be after death as you go now? You walking in darkness, walking in ignorance? Go to Christ. Go to the cross. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, he says this: have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but our friends, rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. And yet, friends, in Woolwich and in London, unspeakable things are done in secret. Wicked things are done behind closed doors. Oh, friends, God sees it. To him, the darkness of the night is as plain as the noonday. He sees us. He knows us. He watches us. He weighs us. He calls us. Friends, you can't escape the attention of the omniscient. He weighs your heart and your thoughts. He sees your future. He sees your doomed state. And he calls you. He invites you. What have you done with those warnings? What have you done with that call? What have you done with his great kindness and goodness? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. But what was that darkness of which Paul speaks? Well, he doesn't leave us ignorant. He says this: let no one deceive you because of vain words. He says this: let no one deceive you because of these things. The wrath of God, the anger of God, comes upon the children of disobedience. Now, some people say, aren't we by nature the children of God? Aren't we by nature daughters and sons of the living God? No, we're not. We're children by nature of disobedience. We're children by nature of the curse. We're children by nature of our own waywardness and folly. By nature, friends, what do you need to teach a child when he's young? You need to teach him to steal, to lie, to cheat? No, it comes very naturally to us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and an adult for that matter. Friends, we need grace. We need washing. We need repentance. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need his power to uproot that crooked and foolish life upon which we built a dangerous foundation. In Christ, there is the way of return. Oh, friends, these aren't idle words. This isn't idle wordplay. Go back to the cross. In Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, there is the doorway to a life of hope and a life of grace and a life of peace. Seek him. Turn to him. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the gift of God's own kindness. The gift of eternal life is found in the cross and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't neglect him, friends. Don't neglect going to church on a Sunday. Don't neglect reading his word. Don't neglect seeking his face. Don't neglect, friends, the warnings of his mouth. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. What is darkness, friends? What is the darkness of which Paul speaks? He says this: you were sometimes darkness. And what is that darkness? He says this: this you know, that no one who commits sex outside of marriage habitually, nor an unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ. Let no one deceive you for vain words. Because of these things, the anger of God comes upon the children of disobedience. You see, God looks at us, friends, and he's angry. He's indignant. He's sorrows over your hearts, over your thoughts. What a waste. What a mess. What a shipwreck you made of your life, he says. Oh, friends, he's angry with us. He's concerned for us. He's jealous for us. He's interested in us. But above all, he says here, he's angry with us. Why have you made a mess? Why have you wrecked the commandments? Why have you despised your God? Why have you neglected your Creator? Turn back before it's too late. Oh, friends, don't be careless with your eternal soul. Don't be careless with your future. Don't be careless with your prayer life. Here is darkness: to live in sex outside of marriage, unrepentantly, with no remorse. Oh, friends, Solomon says this: the adulteress wipes her mouth, is like a woman who wipes her mouth and says, well, what's the problem? What a grave mistake. What a grave mistake. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from sin. Ask him for grace. Ask him for mercy. And in him, you'll find light and grace alone. Oh, friends, what is it to walk in darkness? Well, one of the species of darkness Paul speaks about is sex outside of marriage. Oh, friends, marriage is God's arrangement. It's not made by men. It's not an ordinance of society. It's God's own arrangement. Marriage is created for our benefit, for our blessing, for the preservation of our society. And oh, friends, the great wise ones of our world, the great pedagogues of our society, have vandalized one of the great pillars. Marriage is vital. And we're talking about a unique and exclusive marriage between one man and one woman. Not the perversion the law has now made it, where it denies consummation and it denies even adultery in a real sense. Oh, friends, marriage is crucial. But here is God's grace, it's God's gift to sinful men and women. This arrangement, this exclusive covenant between a man and his wife, oh, friends, here is the foundation of happiness for a solid family life. Here is the beginning, friends, of the fear of God. And yet, what have we done with it as a society? We've wrecked it. We've trashed it. We've thrown it aside. Oh, friends, it's a great wounding of the spirit to commit sex outside of marriage. It's a great wounding of the heart. Spoils the family. How many of us can sustain long-term relationships outside of marriage? You know, the statistics for the breakdown of cohabiting couples is much, much higher than those who are married, who are committed to each other in marriage. No surprise. There's no promise, no vow, no undergirding commitment, no seeking of the grace of God, no power. Oh, friends, marriage is vital. And it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul says, here is darkness, to live in sex outside of marriage. And here is another great species of darkness: to live for stuff, to live for things, for the acquisition of wealth. Oh, friends, we're not animals, here just for a short season and then gone like the dust. We are eternal spirits. Oh, friends, we should have a great preoccupation in life: to seek God's face, to walk with him like Abraham, to know his wisdom, to know his truth in the inward parts. Here is life, friends: to know God, to enjoy him, to walk with him like Enoch. And yet, friends, how many of us are preoccupied with the sensual, with the here and now, with the superficial, with things that distract our tastes and our desires, but strip away from us the greatest blessing of all? Oh, friends, Paul says that covetousness, the love of stuff, is like idolatry. Now, how many of us would bow down to a wooden statue in our living rooms? Probably not many. It's a great evil. But everyone who loves things is an idolater. Everyone who loves stuff, everyone who chases after the love of money, is an idolater. One who loves the here and now, one who loves the senses. Oh, friends, it'll wreck you. It'll ruin you. Here is what Paul describes as a form of darkness: to live for the here and now. to live in willful ignorance of the future, to neglect eternity, to neglect the means of salvation, to neglect the matter of sin. What a mistake, friends, not to know the cross, not to know the power of Christ to raise us from the grave, not to know that wonderful working power that saved Mary Magdalene, saved Zacchaeus, the money grabber. Oh, friends, what have you done with your soul? What have you done with your spirit? To live for money, to live for the here and now. What a waste. What a tragedy. What a shipwreck of the heart and of the mind. Seek him. This is what the Apostle Paul says. To live for the here and now, to live for money, is a kind of darkness. Are you walking in darkness this morning, friends, without even knowing it? You know, it's interesting. When you do walk in a very dark, perhaps fairly moonlit night, you can't see the things around you until somebody turns a torch on. And that's what life is like without Christ. It's darkened. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, without his teaching, without his warnings, without his promises, without that wonderful gift of the new birth, without his free pardon and forgiveness, without his work of salvation, life is living in darkness. Oh, friends, come out of the darkness of a life of self. Come out of the tyranny of Satan, the tyranny of the flesh, the tyranny of the senses, and seek wisdom, seek godliness, seek light, seek holiness. You know, you'll never know real happiness, real contentment, without holiness, without a love for God, without a love for his standards, without a love for his work. Oh, friends, go back to the cross. In him is the fountain of life. There is a wonderful fountain opened up, as it were, in the middle of Woolwich and the places of London for sin and for uncleanness. Doesn't matter how foul, how dirty, how unclean your life has been, go to the fountain and wash. There's no excuse for living in darkness. No excuse for neglecting the light of God's call and his kindness. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been, whoever you are, friends, in Christ is a warm welcome for returning sinners. Go to him. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the lover and the friend of sinners who seek him. Turn to him, and in him you'll find an abundance of life and grace. Oh, friends, where's the benefit of the life you're now living? Where are you going to go after death? Where would you be if you died tonight? Where would you be, friends, if, like Joan Rivers, in that tragic life of mocking and sorrow, where would you be if you died like her tonight, friends? You know what she said of herself? I spend my time hating and myself first of all. What a tragedy, friends, to live a life like that. Go back to the cross. There you'll discover the purpose of God. There you'll discover the great love of God. There you'll discover the great mind and heart of God. Seek him. Turn to him. And in him, friends, there is grace, abundant grace, to cover all our sin. In Christ, there is the great sea of God's forgetfulness. In Christ, there is the power of God to raise us up out of the life of sinfulness and of the grave. Seek him. Turn to him. And in him, you'll find that wonderful gift. Here is what Paul says. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from among the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, friends. Actually, he's talking here to Christians, but we might as well use it of ourselves too. Awake from the dead. Don't live for self. Don't live for the here and now. Don't live for money. Don't live for pleasure. These things will ruin you. They'll despise you. They'll mock you at the end of your life. In Christ, there is the root of life. He is the one who says of himself, I am the life. Oh, friends, don't you know the life? Don't you know the light? Don't you know the way? Don't you know the truth? Have you neglected your own soul's being? In Christ, there, friends, is a remedy for the malady of our sin. In Christ, there is a washing for our filth. In Christ, there is power to raise us up out of a life dedicated to the self, dedicated to the here and now, and give us purity, sexual purity, honesty, integrity, strength. We may say we don't have any of these things. Go to Christ. He'll provide them. He'll clothe you, he'll wash you, he'll change you. In Christ is the gift of a new heart. In Christ is the power to lift us up out of a selfish and a careless life. Oh, friends, what will you do if you carry on as you are now? Walking in darkness, walking in ignorance. Our hearts groan to see some of you here this morning. Some of you have been to our church. Some of you have heard the truth explained very clearly. And yet you've chosen the world. You've chosen the flesh. You've chosen the senses. You've chosen Satan's portion, Cain's portion. Oh, friends, wake up to life. Wake up to mercy. Come along, friends, and hear something more of the Scriptures explained. At any Bible-believing church, you're welcome to come down to Woodhill to hear that message of grace, that message of life, at 6:30 every Sunday evening. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great key of our hearts. There is the only ground for solid peace. There is the only ground for reconciliation with a God who is angry, a God who is indignant, a God who sees our life as a kind of shipwreck. Oh, friends, don't despise your own soul's goods. Seek Him. Turn to Him. Ask Him for light and for grace while He's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome to come along if you want to. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the light of this dark world. Oh, friends, why do men prefer darkness? Why would they prefer to make believe that there is no creator? You know, biochemists, if they could mimic photosynthesis, would make a billion. More than a billion. What an extraordinary invention it would be. They'd win the Nobel Prize. They'd solve the world's energy problems in a snap of a finger. And yet something so simple as photosynthesis, they've been working on for a while, and they can't make it. They can't mimic the most simple, ordinary processes of nature. And yet we say all of this came about by chance. By blind, random, natural selection. What a joke. What an adult fairy tale. To really believe that microbiologists came out of microbes, that philosophers came out of fish. Oh, friends, have you really not looked at evolution critically? Have you not really read any of the genetics behind underneath it? Have you not really understood how frail, how flawed, how unravelling evolution is today? You know, it's interesting. Only 14 years ago, they managed to map the human genome for the first time. They managed to unveil the code. And the scientists at the time thought, we've got it sussed, we've got it fixed. We know the code of life. Oh, what a big mistake. They discovered there are only 26,000 genes, far fewer than we actually need to code a human being. You know, we'd only begun to understand how little we really understand about the genome when we coded the human genome. And yet we say 96% of this is junk. What nonsense. What absolute gut rot. The idea that there's junk DNA is increasingly being discarded amongst reputable scientists because they know full well it's rubbish. Oh, friends, you look at the genome and what are you seeing? A kind of supercomputer, far more powerful than any computer that man could have devised. The RNA computer that effectively is present in the genome is far more subtle than Linux or the military computers the Pentagon uses for its own devices. The genome, that little tiny blob of protoplasm in the centre of a cell, is far more clever than the cleverest things that man has ever made or ever will make. And yet you say this came about with no mind, no purpose, no wisdom, no creator. Oh, friends, get real. Smell the coffee. Haven't you realised yet that evolution is a lie? Haven't you realised, friends, it's a willful excuse? Haven't you realised, friends, that evolution is a deliberate device to do away with God? Oh, friends, there is a creator, a designer, an architect, one who calls us to mercy, one who calls us to his own feet, to communion. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is mercy for sinful men and women. There is grace to wash us, to cleanse us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. This is what Paul says. You were sometimes darkness, but now, after you've come to Christ, you are light in the Lord. Oh, friends, you know who that light is? Do you know anything about the light of the world? Let me read you just a few verses from the Gospel of John. Such simple words, and yet such a wealth of wisdom and depth to be found in them. Here is what the Apostle John says: the light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not grasp it, could not comprehend it, could not take it in, could not really assess or weigh it. Oh, friends, who is this light? It is God's own word, God's own light, God's own call to us, God's own invitation, a personalised invitation to each one of us to seek wisdom, to seek grace, to seek forgiveness, to seek his holiness, to seek his face. Oh, friends, don't neglect his kindness. Don't neglect his wonderful patience. Ask him for light and for grace while he's still near at hand. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He goes on to say this: John the Baptist was a man sent from God who witnessed to this light, but he wasn't the light. He was not that light, but was come to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Do you know that light, friends? Of course you know. Look up at the heavens. Look at the stars. Look at the plants around you. Look at the mouthpiece of an insect. Look at the wings of a butterfly or a dragonfly. Don't you see the extraordinary beauty and intricacy? Haven't you seen the four wings of the dragonfly manoeuvring it much more subtly than a helicopter? Haven't you heard, friends, that the law of aeronautics dictates that a bumblebee should never fly until they discovered a whole new set of aeronautic laws? Oh, friends, God has been there before us. You know, there's a very interesting story. Actually, it's retold by Richard Dawkins. He said this: In the Second World War, when they first discovered radar, they said, here is our greatest cutting-edge technology. And yet at the same time, the naturalists uncovered the radar used by bats. Oh, friends, God bless. The naturalists uncovered the radar discovered by bats. You know, there was a tremendous fear by the British scientists that somehow the Germans would discover the secrets, the highest military technology of the time, through this blind creature. How did it get there first? How did a blind bat precede the best and brightest minds of Britain and of Germany at the time? God has been there before us. Oh, friends, so much of our work is imitation. So much of our best creation is just a copycat work. Weak, base copying of the creating mind. And yet we say there is no God. And yet we say there is no creator. Oh, friends, has there ever been so mindless a generation? So ungrateful, so careless? Our best and our brightest scientists can't see beyond their noses when it comes to the detail, the extraordinary intricacy and beauty of the things that they've witnessed being created in front of them, as it were. In Christ, there is the mind of that creator. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is God's own word. There is his unveiled glory. There is the light of this dark world. Oh, friends, but here is the rub. What have you done with that light? What do you think of a man or a woman who shut down the shutters, closed the curtains, put on spectacles in darkness? Oh, friends, what would you think of somebody who deliberately chose to live in darkness rather than light? What would you think of somebody who put their ears in their hands in their ears not to hear the truth rather than know it? Wouldn't you think that was a bit strange? Wouldn't you think that was a bit odd? Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the light of this dark world. You know what he's called in the Gospel of Luke? The day spring. The day spring. The morning dawn rising over the horizon. What a wonderful sight. Here is Christ, the hope of the nations, the glory of the nations, the glory of his people Israel, and the hope of the Gentile nations. Who is Christ? The dawn of the morning. Oh, friends, we long for that dawn to return again. But even now you can see it, you can find it through his word, through his doctrine, through his understanding. What have you done with that light, friends? What have you done with those warnings against sex outside of marriage? What have you done with those warnings, friends, against lying and cheating and stealing? What have you done with those warnings against living for the here and now? What have you done with those warnings against gossip? What have you done with those warnings against gambling, against drugs, against drunkenness, against the things that ruin and wound the spirit? Oh, friends, in Christ, there is the light of this dark world. There is one who reproves and corrects and heals and blesses and raises us up out of a sinful grave. Oh, friends, don't neglect that light. Don't neglect that kindness. Don't neglect his goodness and his faithfulness. Who is Christ? What did he come to do? Well, here John summarizes his mission in just a few simple phrases. The word, that is God's own word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. What do you look at when you look at Christ? You're looking at God's own word, God's own message, God's own call, God's own invitation. Who is Christ? He is the word made flesh. He was not flesh, but he entered this world of flesh and time to take upon him flesh. Here is the eternal Son of the eternal God stooping down to enter into the lair of sin. Who is Christ? Oh, friends, look at him. Look at what he is. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Christ, friends? One who cannot lie. When he warns us of hell, do you think he's playing around? When he warns us of the danger of sin, the danger of sex outside of marriage, the danger of drugs, the danger of living selfishly in unbelief, do you think he's messing around? No, friends. He's deadly serious. Christ cannot lie. God cannot lie. All friends. And yet he's full of grace. You know, an old friend of mine once said to me, there are very few things in the world that are full of grace and truth. But here is one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Full of truth, full of warning, full of clarity, full of light, but also full of grace. Power to save us. Power to wash us. Power to transform our crooked and filthy hearts and make them acceptable in the sight of God. Power to wash us. Power to cover over the record of our past lives. Power to transform our evil hearts and make them pleasing to the living God by that gift of a new birth. By that gift of a new heart. Oh, friends, won't you seek him? What is so precious about this world that for it you'll exchange eternity? What is so precious about sin that for it, friends, you'll part with everlasting life? Part with God's own love. Part with God's own presence. What is so precious about sex outside of marriage that for it you'll forsake so much, lose so much? What is so precious about the pleasures of the flesh and the pleasures of the senses that for it you'll lose life itself? Oh, friends, in Christ there is the light of this dark world. Here's what John says of him. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, that is, we gazed at, not a glance, not a glimmer, we gazed at his glory, full of grace and truth. Who is Christ? Oh, friends, he is the great warner. He is the great prophet, the great reprover. But in Christ, there is healing too. He's not just one to tell us off. He's one to bind up the brokenhearted. He doesn't just break our hearts. He binds them up and strengthens. In Christ, friends, is the great physician of souls. There's no one like him. Who else lived without sin? Who else rose from the grave? Where are the false teachers of today, friends? Where is Muhammad and Confucius and Gautama Siddhartha? Dead and rotting in the grave, overcome by their sin. Only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, rose from the grave and seated at the right hand of the Father, born of a virgin, impeccable and perfect. Oh, friends, don't you know him? Haven't you read his words? Haven't you read his warnings? You say he's a prophet, but do you know his teaching? Do you know his wonderful miracles? Who else, friends, could heal the leper as he healed? Who else could open the eyes of a man born blind as we are born blind? Who else, friends, could open the ears of the deaf? Who else, friends, could loose the tongue of the dumb? Why do you think we're here this morning? Think we come out just to make an exhibition of ourselves? No, friends. We're not here to preach about ourselves, but Christ. Here is the music, friends. It's the only music that will get this heart playing. Here's the only message that will bring me out onto the corner of a street. The love of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Life from the dead. Holiness for sinful men and women. Purity of heart for the defiled. Oh, friends, don't neglect wisdom. Don't neglect the fear of God. Don't neglect repentance. Turn back and seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. For his sake. Oh, friends. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is bread for our souls. There is meat for our hungry spirits. There is a fountain of life, of love, of power, of cleansing. Don't neglect his goodness and his kindness. In him, and in him alone, is the gateway to eternal life. Don't despise it, friends. Here is the one who the builders have rejected. Don't you see, friends, down every generation it's exactly the same. The religious hierarchy, the Archbishop of Canterbury and his like, of the day, they were the ones responsible for crucifying Christ. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious hierarchy of the day, they neglected the great building stone, the great foundation stone. But ah, what has God done? He's taken that foundation stone and he's made it the head of the corner. In Christ, there is the root to peace. There is the root to purity. There is the root to wisdom. There is the root of healing and of grace. Here is the one full of truth and of grace. Oh, friends, don't neglect the thing that matters most. Don't neglect that which is for your benefit. Don't neglect that bread of life. Don't neglect that light of the world. Ask him for light. Ask him for understanding of your own wickedness. Ask him to unveil who you really are in his sight. Ask him, friends, to give you a glimpse of how it will be in the day of days, when your heart is laid bare before him, when every idle word is weighed in his sight, when the books are open, when all our deeds, recorded deeds, secret and open, are disclosed in his holy sight. Don't you know, friends, his eyes are like a flame of fire? Don't you know his eyes are like a searchlight, seeing through right to the very core of our excuses? He knows us. He calls us. And our friends, he requires of us repentance. He requires of us a turning back. He requires of us humility. He requires from us a turning back, a surrendering of self to him. Oh, friends, why have you neglected his goodness? Why have you neglected his patience? Why have you neglected his call? Come along, friends, to a Bible-believing church down at Wood Hill, Sunday by Sunday at 6:30, or any other serious Bible-believing church in the area, and you'll find that message of grace to save, to bless, to empower, to lift us up out of the ditch of a selfish, foolish life. In Christ, there is power to bless us, to wash us. Oh, friends, you may say, I'm too old, too hard. I've lived too long in sin and prejudice. No, that's not the case. The hardest, the most prejudiced, the most foolish can come to Christ and live. He has no limits to his power. Accept our unbelief. Accept our determination to live for self. Accept our determination to reject him. Friends, he won't overrule that, not ultimately. In Christ, there is the word of God made flesh, full of grace and of truth. Go to him for grace. Go to him for light. Go to him for mercy while he's still near at hand. Here is something the Lord Jesus Christ said during his own ministry. He said this: this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men preferred darkness. Now, what a strange thing. But the reality is this: we don't want to know the truth. We don't want to know about sin. We don't want to know about folly. If a friend comes to us and says, you're getting it wrong, is that welcome or unwelcome? Of course it's unwelcome. But our friends, God, the dearest friend we have, comes to us and says, your life is a shipwreck. Your life is a mess. You're standing in disobedience to the living God, under his indignation. You need washing. You need cleansing. You need his power. You need his grace. Oh, friends, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. What a strange thing. What kind of creature is this that prefers darkness rather than light? What kind of plant is this that prefers the light of the moon to the light of the sun? But this is the soul of sinful man. This is the uncleanness of our rebellion, to prefer darkness, to live for excuses, to live a lie, to have a lie in our right hand and believe it and embrace it, and neglect the seeking after truth, to neglect the Christ, to neglect forgiveness, to neglect mercy, to neglect the new birth. Oh, friends, time's up. Time's up. Time's up living for self. Time's up living for the world. Time's up living for the flesh. Go back to the cross. Go back to the Christ. Ask him for understanding. Ask him for pure heart. Ask him, friends, for light for the eyes. Ask him to wash you and to cleanse you and to bless you. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men prefer darkness rather than light. Oh, friends, what a mistake. Why would you want to choose darkness? Why would you want to choose a lie rather than the truth of God? What's the benefit, friends? Where's the outcome of a life lived as a lie, founded on a lie, founded on quicksand? Where is the outcome, friends? Where will it lead you? Here's the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their acts were unseemly. The things they did and thought and imagined didn't live up to the standard. Here's why we shrink away from the light of God's law. Here's why we shrink away from the light of God's holiness. Homosexuality is a great offence against God. Denies his being. Denies his purity. Profanes his name. Sex outside of marriage is a great defiling of his character. A great destroying of who he is and how he wants us to be. But our friends, in Christ, there is the way of return. Why would you prefer darkness rather than light? Why would you love to live for the senses rather than live for the spirit? Why would you love to live for the flesh rather than live for eternity? Why would you, dear friends, live like a cow going to the abattoir or a sheep down to the slaughterers? Why would you live like a lemming on the edge of the cliff? Don't you know the way to destruction is broad and many there are who go in it? The way to life is narrow. What is that life, friends? To know God. To know his mind. To know his purpose. To know his wonderful promise. To know his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the cross, there is the open arms of the living God. There is God's invitation. There is his call to us. Oh, friends, don't neglect him. Don't neglect his goodness and his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. God so loved this world, this foul, evil generation, with all its ugliness, with all its selfishness. God so loved the world. This crooked and perverse generation, he loved it. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't perish. Do you know where you're going after death? Do you know where you're headed, friends? If you don't know the gift of God, don't know his wonderful power to cleanse and to forgive, in Christ there is the great rescue ship. There is the great fireman of our spirits. There, friends, is the great faithful witness who will not lie, who will not exaggerate. He warns us, he calls us, he invites us. But what have you done with his grace? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his great goodness and kindness to seek us and to know us? In him, and in him alone, is mercy. If you want, take it and have a look at it. It's very precious. Don't throw it away. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us. There's no one like him. No one like him. Who else really cares about your spirit? Your parents? No, they let you get on with it. They let you defile yourselves with the ugly things of this world. Your friends? No, they're often the first to lead you into sin. They're often the first to try and seduce you and attract you off the straight and narrow and bring you down into the chains of Satan. They'll present the bait, but they'll hide the hook, like Satan himself. But our friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a faithful shepherd. He's a pastor who really cares for our hearts. He's a pastor who really cares for our souls. He cares for our future. He cares for our prayer life. He cares for our holiness. He cares for our happiness. And in Christ, there, friends, is the real key of eternal life. Seek him and turn to him. Read it and think about it. Because in Christ is an unspeakably great treasure. You know how he describes himself? The pearl beyond price. A man searching for good pearls found this pearl beyond price. And he sold all that he had in order to get it. Friends, do you know that price? Do you know that pearl? The Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son. The one who humbled himself. The one who brought himself down to our level. The one who stretches out his hand and warns us and calls us. Oh, friends, don't despise the pearl of great price. Don't despise the opportunity of repentance. Life is short. Before we know it, friends, our lives are over. Before we know it, like a flower, flourishes and rises and then fades and falls. Our lives are gone. Our lives are like ashes, thrown into the wind, like a brief sigh, like a dream, like a puff of steam. Oh, friends, our life in this world, on this age, is so short. Our old grandparents look back and say, "Where is it gone, my life?" But, friends, this life is just the beginning of eternity. It is the threshold of the life to come. The important thing is to know Christ, to know his washing, to know his forgiveness, to know his communion. Here's the great thing, friends, to know the purpose of life. How does the old catechism put it? It says this: what is the chief end of man? To know God, to glorify God, and to enjoy him forever. Here's the great joy of joys which the worldling misses. Haven't you ever read that hymn of Newton's? He says this: fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Oh, friends, here's that great source of solid joy. The gift of Christ, the gift of mercy, the gift of holiness, the gift of the new birth. Oh, friends, by nature, we scrabble around urging the wages of sin. By nature, we chase after the flesh. chase after things that harm and wound. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to change us, to wash us, to help us, to guide us. Oh, friends, don't live in the shadow of death, under the shadow of the darkness of this present evil age. Seek Christ. Seek wisdom. Seek godliness. Seek God's own tastes, His own purpose, His own mind. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is mercy. There is the Good Shepherd. There is one who laid His life down in order for us to come. Oh, friends, He is unlike any other. There's no teacher like Him. Other teachers want to take what they can. He wants to give everything He has. Oh, friends, what a contrast lies between the Lord Jesus Christ and every false teacher. In the Lord Jesus Christ is wheat for the soul, solid, lasting, something that feeds our spirits and helps our conscience, something that lifts us up out of this selfish and cruel world. In Christ, our friends, is the one who has a real concern and care for our spirits. Who else cares for your soul? Who else cares about your sins? Who else cares about your holiness? Certainly not your family. Certainly not your friends. Perhaps not your boyfriend or your girlfriend. They prefer to disperse you. But Christ has a great concern for your eternal spirit. He has a concern for where you're going after death. What the real trend of your life will be. Seek Him. Turn to Him. Ask Him, friends, for wisdom, for grace, for washing, for cleansing. Ask Him for life. Oh, friends, there's no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is one who does all things well. Here is one, friends, who has a solid concern and care for us. And yet, you know what He does when He looks at your life this morning? He weeps. He sees your life as a kind of shipwreck, as a ruin. And you know it yourself in your heart of hearts. You're away from God, under the cloud of His indignation, and away from His pleasure, away from His communion, away from His friendship, and you know in your heart of hearts you oughtn't to be there. You're like a lost sheep in the mouths of the wolves around you. Those spiritual wolves that will gnaw and grind the bones of your spirit down. Oh, friends, what are the lusts of the flesh? Cruel, deceitful, foolish. What is the pride of life? Something that snares the soul, puffs it up, and then crushes it. What is the desire of the eyes? Oh, friends, it deceived Eve and it deceives millions in our own generation. It looked good, but oh, friends, it was a deadly poison for the spirit. It looked good, but it was a deadly poison, more poisonous than polonium, more poisonous, more deadly than Ebola is sin. And yet, oh, friends, with what wanton abandon we give ourselves to it. Don't you know your enemies? Don't you know your friends? Don't you see, friends, the harm of following after self? The harm of following after sin. Don't you see the harm that comes to the soul that chases after Satan's path, follows the way of self, goes down the way of the flesh? In Christ, there is the great healer, the great saviour from sin. Christ hasn't come to teach us only. Christ didn't come merely as an instructor. No, friends, He came to take us by the scruff of the neck and pull us out of the quagmire of our own selfishness and folly. Turn back from sin before it ruins you. Where is the benefit in death? Where is the benefit, friends, in living for the flesh? In earning corruption? In sowing to the flesh and reaping that whirlwind of corruption in your own spirit? Where's the benefit, friends, in chasing after the here and now? Of asking for gratification from the senses alone? Oh, friends, come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him is one who cares and watches. Here is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men preferred darkness. They preferred an excuse, preferred the lie of evolution, preferred the lie of materialistic theism, preferred the lie that God is not. Oh, friends, there'll be a rude awakening from such a lie. There'll be a terrible rude awakening before long. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is coming, the bridegroom for His bride, watching and waiting and calling and inviting and pleading with sinners to return to Himself. But our friends, if you live with a hard heart and an unbelieving spirit, how will you give an account for the things that you've said and done? How will you live, friends, without His grace and His kindness if you don't know that gift of repentance, that change of heart, that solid gift of God, the Holy Spirit? How will you give an account for the things that you've said and done? Seek Him. Turn to Him while He's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, is life from the dead. Life from the grave of a selfish, careless, unspiritual life. In Christ, there is a wealth of love and of joy and of peace you'll never find in this world. The strongest love between a man and a woman is milk and water by comparison with the love of God. Oh, friends, the greatest and the strongest romances, what are they compared to the love of God? God loved us while we were enemies. He pursued us while we were still hating him, still spitting in his face, still stabbing him in the back, still biting the hand that fed us. He still feeds us. He still sustains us. And yet you curse him day after day after day. Do you think you'll escape the anger of God if you carry on like that? Oh, friends, why is God so gracious? Why is he so patient? He waits for our repentance. He waits for our turning. He invites. He calls. He commands. Turns him for grace and for kindness while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there, friends, and there alone is life from the dead. Oh, friends, don't give yourselves to sex outside of marriage, to sodomy, to divorce, to abortion, to adultery, to the things that wound the spirit and wreck the family, to the things that tear us apart, to the things that spoil the spirit, that wreck our record with God. Turn, friends, to that great fountain and ask for cleansing. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been, go back to the cross. In Christ is power to save the worst man or woman in Woolwich. The worst prisoner in Belmarsh can be changed and blessed. Christ receives Satan's cast-offs. He loves to bless. He loves to wash. He loves to change. In Christ is the gift of God to deliver us from the uncleanness of sin. Here is what the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Oh, friends, who is this Son of God? Is he, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, a kind of created angel? A created being? No, friends. Christ is the eternal Son of God. The one who reflects his Father's being. In Christ, there is the great image of God. In Christ, there is the one who reflects the glory and the majesty of the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. What have you done with his warnings, friends? Where will you be in the day of days if you say, I didn't listen, I didn't hear, I didn't want to understand, I didn't want to know about forgiveness, about mercy? Oh, friends, your condemnation be the worst for that. You've sinned against greater light. Seek him, turn to him, break off from a life of sin today, not tomorrow. Ask him, friends, for grace, for life, for mercy. Don't be foolish with your eternal spirit. Don't be careless with eternity. Here is something matters more than life itself. The loving kindness of God. The knowledge of the one who created us for himself. Here is something that matters more than life itself. To know God. To walk with him. To enjoy him. In his presence is life forever. Oh, friends, don't you know the grace and the kindness, the patience, the wonderfully extended loving kindness of the living God? Go to him for grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave himself for us, who loved us with an eternal love. There's no one like him. Oh, friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. And this too is what the Lord Jesus said. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. You see, Christ distills it down to one basic question. Do you know the Son of God? Do you know Christ? Do you know his power to wash? Do you know that great life giver? Do you know that resurrection from the dead? Do you know the bread of life? Have you received the light of this present world into your heart? Do you know him? Here he distills that great question down into one cardinal issue. Do you know the Son of God? Do you know the one who came in obedience to his Father's will, not begotten of the flesh, but born of the Spirit? In Christ, there is God's own word. There is God's own mirror. There is the one who displays to us what God is like, how he calls us, what he loves, what he hates, what he chooses, what he rejects. But our friends, here's the great difference between life and death. To know Christ, to know the Son of God, to know his power to deliver from sin. Or would you prefer to remain a slave all the rest of the days of your life, a slave until the grave. Oh, friends, don't be like those who are freed from slavery in the old days and then return back to their slave masters and slave mistresses. Free yourselves of the bondage of sin. Free yourselves of sex outside of marriage. Shake off the dust. Turn away from the things that you know God hates and seek his face. Seek his kindness. Go along, friends, to a Bible-believing church, a place where you'll hear something of God's own word, something of God's own call. And in Christ, you'll find that glorious fountain of life. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life. Have you seen life? Do you know what life looks like? Do you know what life is? To know God, to walk with him, to have his guidance, to have his answers to your prayers, to enter into his joy. Oh, friends, are you a stranger to that too? Born blind and loving blindness. It's often said, the old proverb, there's no one so blind as the man who will not see. But that's our nature. We don't want to see. We don't want the truth in our hearts. We don't want purity. We don't want holiness. You know, there's a man 38 years ill at the side of a pool. Ostensibly, he was seeking after healing. But the very first question Jesus said to him is, do you want to be made well? He asked us the same question this morning. Do you want to be made holy? Do you want to be made righteous? And you know, the honest answer of most of us is, get lost. I don't want righteousness. I don't want holiness. What a tragedy, friends. The thing that's the very root of happiness, and we despise it. The thing that's the very foundation of a contented life, and we neglect it. Without holiness, there is no happiness. Without forgiveness of sin, there is no prayer life to speak of. Without the knowledge of God, through his Son, oh, friends, we're corpses walking and breathing and talking, zombies, dead while we still live. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says of the woman who lives for pleasure. She's dead while she still lives. Is that your condition this morning, friends? A lover of death, not of life. A cherisher of the dead and the dying, rather than of the living and the quickening. Oh, friends, wake up before it's too late. How long will you carry on as you are now? Living for sin, living for pleasure, living for the here and now, without the knowledge of God's own Son. This is what Jesus said. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He doesn't say it's pie in the sky when you die. He says he has everlasting life now. He knows God. He walks with God. And yet, friends, he that believes not the Son shall not see life. Oh, friends, is that what you really want? To live in willful blindness? To live in a deliberate ignorance? Clothing out the truth of God? Covering over the remnants of the evidence? Cutting out God's word and God's voice to you through his conscience? The conscience he set in your heart? Through your friends who are Christians? Through the word of God? Through the voice of the church? Oh, friends, you're smothering out the voice of God this morning. What a mistake! What a tragedy not to know that truth that heals, that blesses, that enlifts, that enlarges the heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. There and there alone is power to heal us, to bless us. Don't despise his grace. Don't despise his patience. Oh, friends, in Christ, there is the only way of return. Again, here is what Christ said. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Oh, friends. The wages of sin is death. It's natural for us to earn death, the way we're headed, the way we're framed. We love sin and will embrace it by nature. Oh, friends, you don't need to teach a child to steal or to cheat or to lie. Bound in their hearts, as it is with every sinner. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why did Christ come? Why did he suffer? Why did he pay that dreadful penalty in blood? Oh, friends, if you don't understand that, you've missed everything. Christ paid with his own blood the penalty that we're going to have to pay if we neglect him. The penalty that we're going to have to pay if we ignore him. We need his grace. We need his washing. We need it more than anything else in life or in death. Oh, friends, go to him for life, for grace, for mercy, while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends, for a clean heart. Ask him for a pure tongue. Ask him for an understanding spirit. Ask him for that wonderful gift of humility. Ask him, friends, for wisdom. and for insight into your own heart. He'll freely give you all these things if you seek for them first and foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the things that we naturally seek after, the desires, the ordinary human desires, he will add them to us. But our friends, we have to get our priorities right. We have to get first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. Do you know his gift? In Christ is eternal life. Not any old life. Not an endless humdrum of singing harps in some white cloud. No. This is life. To know God. To know the joy of joys. To know solid peace that even death and death sickness cannot snatch away from you. Friends, I've seen it so many times. Real Christians facing death with joy. Because they know they were going to a better place. It wasn't an empty delusion like the Islamic martyr who blows himself up, murdering himself and others. Oh no, friends. This is solid peace. Based on a real reconciliation with God in the past. Not some future act of atonement, but resting on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that peace? Don't you know that peace that passes understanding? Don't you know that power that surpasses human or heavenly power? In Christ, there is a power to take the crooked spirit that now dwells in your flesh and change it, and wash it, and transform it. Here is the gift of eternal life. To know God. To love holiness. To love purity. To hate wickedness. Here is life, friends. Not to give your heart to pleasure, which ruins and wrecks the soul, but to give your heart to God. To know him. To follow him. Here is solid peace. To live for the very purpose for which we were created. Here is solid peace. To know the end of life. To know that great Alpha and Omega. And what are you doing? Scrabbling around in the dust of your own flesh? Chasing like a pig after the scraps of the flesh of this world? Oh, friends. What a tragic error not to know the kindness and the goodness of the living God. Not to know his wonderful tenderness, his patience. How many years has he stretched out his hands to you, friends? How many years has he waited for your repentance? How many years has he waited for you just to turn open that book of the Bible and begin to read it with an open heart for the first time in your life? How many years has he waited for you to respond to the friend of that Christian friend who's inviting you along to an assembly to hear God's word? How many years would he wait before you respond? Life is short. You know, there's a great king by the name of Belshazzar. He was a party-going king, a lover of drunkenness, a lover of sex, a lover of pleasure for its own sake. And you know what God said to him in the day of his death? He was still a young man. God said to him these words: "The God in whose hands your very breath is, and whose are all your ways, you haven't glorified." Is that how you're going to live, friends? To live for self? To live for pleasure? And then be cut off prematurely? Before your end, with a life that's thrown onto the rubbish tip of hell? Oh, friends, seek wisdom while it may be found. Ask for light. Ask for grace. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't throw away your hope. Ask him, friends, for an understanding of the love and the kindness of the living God. Ask him, friends, for his mercy and his kindness while he's still near at hand. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this: "He that believes on the Son, that is the Son of God, has everlasting life." What is this life, friends? To know God. To walk with him. To enjoy him. To walk in his hand. Hand in hand, as it were. With the living God. Here is life. To know God's mind. To know God's purpose. To know his kindness and his favour. And oh, friends, is this some great, strange, esoteric secret hidden in Tibet? No. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. In another place, the Lord Jesus says this life is abundant. Oh, friends. One life leads to another. One blessing leads to a chain reaction of blessings. The moment we step our step correctly in the sight of God, seek his face, turn to him, what a shower of blessing follows. What a fountain of life succeeds. Friends, don't despise the patience and the kindness and the goodness of the God. Don't treasure up to yourselves anger against the day of judgment to come. Don't neglect his goodness and his kindness. Seek him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read to you two words of the Saviour, where he speaks about his work of enlightening the world. He says this: as long as I am in the world, he said of himself, I am the light of this dark world. You know, many of us don't see the world like that. We see our generation as more enlightened, more blessed, more educated than the lives before it. But oh, friends, bring just a few simple tests. How many of us can sustain a relationship beyond 20 years? How many of our marriages last for more than 10 years? Why, friends, is our society splintering up? If we're such an enlightened and educated generation, why can't we raise our children in a godly way? Why are children spoilt and proud and feral? Oh, friends, we've neglected godliness. We've neglected God's wisdom. We've neglected God's kindness. And oh, friends, our land has become a land of darkness, dwelling in the shadow of darkness. Sex outside of marriage entices, but it ruins, it wrecks the spirit. It rips up the family. Sex outside of marriage defiles the heart, spoils the future, wrecks our lives. We need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his washing. Seek him and turn to him. Oh, friends, even the government statistics are very plain. Children raised in a single parent family usually go wrong, much more usually than those brought up in a wholesome marriage. Oh, friends, we can't blame ourselves for what's happened in the past, but we have a responsibility to seek God now. We have a responsibility to turn away from sin this morning. We need to seek his face. We need to turn away from the things that will ruin us and wreck us. Oh, friends, why will you die? Why, friends, would you turn away from his mercy and his kindness? Why will you die? Turn you, for why will you die? The old prophet Ezekiel said, in Christ there is life, there is mercy, there is power to cleanse us and to wash us. Come along, friends, to a Bible-believing church, a place where you hear God's word, God's instruction, God's life. Don't, friends, trust in the wisdom of this perverse and foolish generation. It'll shipwreck you, it'll ruin you, it'll snare and fill your heart with many remorses. Look at our old people's homes, friends. Don't you see the wrecked, the shipwrecked lives of so many? Don't you see those who've lived for pleasure now, regretting it into eternity afterwards? Don't you see, friends, that those who now live for the flesh will reap corruption in their own being, in their own heart, in their own imagination shortly afterwards? We need grace. We need washing. We need holiness. We need purity. And these things are only found through the bread of life, only found through the source of nourishment for the soul. You won't find it outside of God's word. You won't find it outside of God's counsel. You won't find it outside of God's mercy. You won't find it outside of the new birth. The old prophet Jeremiah put it this way. He said, what is the wheat for the chaff? What are you feeding your soul on? Chaff? Stubble? The philosophy of men? The empty words of this present generation? Oh, friends, come and feast on the banquet of the love of God, of the mercy of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ is the gift of a new birth and a new heart. In Christ is power to transform our crooked spirits and make them whole. Oh, friends, why do you despise his goodness? Why do you neglect his warning? Why do you neglect his call? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. And again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, I am come that they might have light. I am come for judgment. I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Where is the wise one? Where is the critic? Where is the judge? Where is the discerning judge of this world? Are they not blind when it comes to the matter of sin? Are they not blind when it comes to the matter of pleasing God? Oh, friends, the great scholar, the great Oxbridge professor, does he know his own heart? A Sunday school child has greater wisdom than such a man if he doesn't know the ugliness of his own nature. It's said in the scriptures, Christ knew men. He knew what was in the heart of man. He knew the ugliness of man. He knew the excuses of man. He knew the cauldron of sin that lies within us. But some of us are hopeless believers, naive believers in the goodness of human nature. We need salvation. We need deliverance. We need redemption. We need the power of God to raise us up from the dead. It's not a turning over of a new leaf. Friends, our spirits stand in rebellion against God. We need mercy. We need washing. We need cleansing. What have you done with your life? What have you done with your spirit? How will you give an account before the living God? for the things that you've said and done. If you don't know that fountain of mercy, ask him, friend. He won't be niggardly. He's not miserly. He loves to bless the hard cases. He loves to wash the most filthy. He loves to deal with the most difficult of all. Look at Mary Magdalene. There was a prostitute, possessed, unclean, filthy, despised by her community. And look how Christ changed her. Look how Christ lifted her up out of the ditch. And that's what he loves to do, friends. He loves to take the difficult case and make us pure, make us clean, make us fit in his sight. Go to him for grace. Go to him for life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the free and undeserved gift of God, is eternal life through the cross, through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his giving up of himself, through his laying down of his own soul to bear the punishment that we have rightly deserved if we go to him. Oh, friends, why did he take the rap? Why did he act for scapegoats? Why was he the Lamb of God? We can't search these things out. Here are mysteries far too deep for us. Here is a sea of love and kindness and patience far too unsearchable for us. But it's a reality. Here is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Go to him. Go to him. Here is the great priority of life. To know him. To love him. To follow him. Oh, friends, what have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his patience? What have you done with his wonderful gift? Have you trampled it underfoot? Have you spat him in the face? Have you trampled his laws and cast them behind your back? What a mistake. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And why is your heart a mountain of ice? Why are you an iceberg of sin and uncleanness? Why, friends, have you given your heart to things you know will wound it? Why, friends, are you living for the here and now? Why are you living for the flesh? In Christ is the one who calls us home. In Christ is the good shepherd. He won't flatter you. He won't schmoozle you with honeyed words. No, friends, he tells us it as it is. Warts and all. He says we're sinners in need of repentance. He says we're sinners destined for hell. He says we're sinners in need of a clean heart and a new birth. And he has provided those gifts. We don't need to earn them. We can't earn them. We can't begin to come to him with our own good works. Our works are worthless. Our church going and praying and fasting is worthless. It's his gift, his free gift, his kindly gift of himself for us. Go to the cross and taste it for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess it. If we say that we have no sin, who are we kidding? You're kidding yourself, friends. You can't kid God. He sees your sin. It's as plain as the noonday sun. The ugliness of sex outside of marriage. The ugliness of lying. The ugliness of drug taking and drug peddling. The cruelty of gambling. The folly of abortion. The ugly murder, the blood-stained hands of those who have slain the unborn child. He sees our sin, friends. It cries out to him. If we say that we have no sin, we're kidding ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't a brushing under the carpet. When God gets to deal with us, friends, this is real. Our lives will never be the same again if we go to the cross for real. If we seek him with our hearts, if we ask for repentance, friends, your life will never be the same again. He'll transform you and change you. He'll wash you from the inside. I well remember what my own mother said to me after I became a Christian. Having been a selfish, lazy, lout of a lad. Oh, friends, what a transformation. She said, Charles, you've changed. What's happened to you? What's got into you? My parents thought it would be a phase, as they often do with a young Christian. But our friends, in Christ is power to wash us. Power to change us. Power to take our stubborn and foolish hearts and soften them. Power to give us a sensitivity, to be keen for the approach of temptation, to be sensitive to the approach of sin, to discern between light and that angel of light that appears so comely and yet it is darkness. Oh, friends, self-righteousness will be a rock for your soul. It'll ruin your spirit. Go to him as a sinner. Ask him for cleansing. Ask him for washing. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where else, friends, will you find a power? In heaven or in earth or under the earth like it. The power to take a proud, selfish sinner and make him humble. Where will you find a power like this in heaven or in earth? The power to take an inveterate, pathological liar and make him a lover of truth. A stickler for honesty. Christ can do it. He's done it in the past. He'll do it in the future. Where, friends, is the power in heaven or in earth to change a thief and make him generous and hospitable and a lover of giving? One who knows the blessedness of that saying, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Only Christ. Only the cross. Only the Messiah, slain for sin and raised from the dead, can change our hearts and wash our spirits. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your eternal soul? Where are you going to be after death? Do you think you'll just be pressing the daisies up? No, friends. Eternal life begins at death. Our lives in this earth are like a sigh, like a breathing of a mouth, like a puff of smoke, like the vapour that comes out of a kettle. So short, so brief, so cursory. Our lives are like a flower that flourishes and then fades. But God's word is eternal. Oh, friends, God cannot lie. You know, whatever we do, we'll vindicate him. Whatever we do, however we react, he'll be vindicated. He'll be honoured. He'll be justified in what he says and does. Whether we live for sin from now to the moment we live at the grave, he'll vindicate himself in his perfect justice against us. If we live, friends, for rebellion and uncleanness, he'll demonstrate the sharp sword of his justice by judging us and cutting us off from his presence. But how much more sweet, how much more powerful, how much more wonderful to taste his forgiveness, to know that mercy of God that changes the soul. Friends, what is the benefit of living for sin? What is the outcome of living for yourself? What is the outcome of living for the here and now? Living just like an animal, with no thought of eternity, no thought of what happens after death, no understanding of why Jesus died on the cross, no understanding of why he rose from the grave, no understanding of the prophets or the apostles, no understanding, friends, of the great secrets of the Spirit, of the unseen Spirit realities around us. Oh, friends, wake up before it's too late. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ is one spoken of by the prophets, by the apostles, as the light of this sinful and perverse generation. One who penetrates the excuses of the undergrowth of our hearts and says, what are you doing with your soul? What have you done with your prayer life? What a mess you've made of the worship you ought to have offered. What have you done with the garden of your soul? What thorns and weeds are you bearing to God? Ask him for mercy. Ask him for cleansing. Ask him for a new heart and a new spirit. Oh, friends, he's not unkind. He's not cruel. He loves to bless. But if we live in willful rebellion all the days of our life, what choice does he but to cast us off and throw us away out of his presence? If we vote day by day for the flesh, Satan, and the world, what choice does he have at the end of life but to cast us into that place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, the place of exile, the place of outer darkness? Oh, friends, go back to the Messiah, that one foreseen and foretold by the prophets from the beginning of time until he came, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You think your sins are too great to be dealt with? Look again at the cross. There is death. There is the penalty of blood. There, friends, is the strength of God's love and kindness toward us. There is the essence of his great patience toward us, to warn us, to call us, to invite us. But if we neglect that hope, if we neglect that kindness, if we neglect that mercy, what remains for us, friends, but a fearful waiting for of indignation and judgment? You a child of hell this morning, child of rebellion, living under the curse, living under the cloud of God's indignation, waiting for judgment on death row. Is that your condition, friends? Come back to the Christ. Come back to the cross. Ask him for light. Ask him for washing. Ask him for grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a wonderful feast of good things, of purity, of repentance, of holiness, of happiness, of solid peace. Oh, friends, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. In him is the great fountain of life to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us from the inside. In Christ, there is the power to change our crooked hearts and make them right in the sight of the living God. What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his invitations? Seek him, friends, before it's too late. Here's what Isaiah says. Ho, everyone who thirsts. Why do you spend your money for that which does not satisfy? Why, friends, are you labouring for that which isn't bread? What is your life? It is just for the here and now. Just for the flesh. Just for the senses. Living just like an animal. With no thought of eternity. No thought of where you're going after death. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. In Christ, in that fountain of the cross, is life from the dead. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light, for understanding. Friends, we invite you along to Wood Hill, Sunday by Sunday, 6:30 in the evening. You'll find a very straightforward message there to help you seek and find the Lord for yourself. Don't wait for your friends to invite you. Don't wait, friends, for somebody to door tap you. Come along and find out about the truth, about wisdom, about Christ, about the purpose of life, about the goodness and the kindness of the living God. Come to him while he's still near at hand. Again, this is what the prophet says. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you labour for that which doesn't satisfy? Oh, friends, the carnal mind, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. The empty mind, the mind that lives and dwells on this world, will never know real satisfaction, never know real peace, never know real contentment. Just like the prophet says, to the wicked there is no peace, says my God. They're like the troubled sea that casts up its mire. But our friends, in Christ, there is peace. There is justification for the ungodly. There is purity for the impure. There is power to change us, to transform us. There is a cleansing of the spirit and of the heart. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't be cruel and foolish with your own soul. Oh, friends, ask for light. Ask for wisdom. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. What are you doing with your soul this morning? Where are you going after death? What would happen, friends, if you had a car accident today? Many of those to whom we preached over the last 10 years in this place have now found out the reality of what lies beyond death, have entered into the veil, passed through from this realm into the hidden one beyond. Many of those who once heard the words of Christ in this very place are now in everlasting burnings or in his presence. Where will you be, friends, after death? Where will you stand in the sight of God when you must give an account? When you must give an account for the things that you've said and done and thought? When every idle word is laid out before him, how will you stand in his presence? Don't you know his eyes are like a searchlight? He searches us and sifts us. He weighs us and he considers us. But oh, friends, if we live for self, our lives are wanting. Just like Daniel said to Belshazzar in the day of his death, your days are numbered. You're found wanting. Your kingdom, your body is about to be divided from your soul. Why, friends, are you living for self? Why, friends, are you living for sin? Why, friends, are you living a doomed and accursed life, waiting for judgment? Flee to the cross. Flee from the anger to come. Flee from the judgment to come. Don't you see the axe is laid to the root of the tree? Don't you see, friends, our lives are so brief, so short. Like a flower that flourishes and then fades, our lives pass away. But the words of God are eternal. His verdict, his warnings, his invitation stand. Oh, friends, we pass away like a morning cloud. But he warns us. He calls us. He invites us to establish our feet upon the rock, to know that Alpha and Omega of creation. Oh, friends, what have you done with his kindness? What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his great goodness? Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Read his word. Come along to Wood Hill or to any other Bible-believing church. Find out about his grace and his kindness while he's still near at hand. For his sake, amen.